All right. Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome up Alan, one of our elders, and he's got some friends that he's brought with him that he will introduce, but he's going to be sharing about Victorious Ministries Through Christ, also known as VMTC, and have some people share what God's done through that for them. So welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, family, and good morning, church. What a joyful morning. What a joyful morning, full of joy and full of glory. And just welcome along those visitors that have come along today and those that are here with expectant hearts and expectant ears. May the Lord bless you today. And just when I was sitting down there, I was really, even earlier, much earlier, I was just asking the Lord if there is a word for somebody or word for something. And I just got a reinforcement of what I'm going to talk about, that there's some people that feel like they're just slipping away. And I just speak to you and speak to your heart that the word that I'm going to bring, the scriptures I'm going to bring today, will just reinforce to you to hold on, to take a stand and to hold on. So it's a pleasure to be able to speak and to share this morning. So I'm continuing a mini-series that I'm doing. Every now and again I get asked to talk, and I used to call it What's in My Toolbox, but I've actually changed it today and I've called it What's in Your Toolbox, because we're all equipped. We've all got something that's tangible for ourselves. And, my little man's helping me there. So last time I spoke, it was all on restoration and some of the tools that I use in my hobby and restoring things. And but today we're referring to restoring of our spirit, restoring that spirit within each of us, and our commitment to serve Christ and to have Christ in our hearts. And it's been such a pleasure the last few months of just hearing different aspects from various speakers and from various of our elders. And a couple of weeks ago, our brother Lance brought a word, and it really just stuck to me, and I even mentioned at the other meeting we had about peculiar people. And in 1 Peter 2:9, and I looked up the King James Version, and it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. And if you want to do a little bit of a word study of that, put it into Google and it'll bring you a whole lot of facts about being a peculiar person or peculiar people, set aside and got a distinction upon you. And times do get tough for all of us. Times that we get challenged, and the waves and the storms of life can get very rough, and at times seem overwhelming. Has anyone not had that? I think we all have been in situations, whatever, we don't have to define it, but something has come along and just seems so difficult. The mountains have seemed impassable, the pathway has deteriorated, and the signposts, which way do I go, which way do I turn, they have faded or been knocked over. And you've seen those photo videos of the floods over in the eastern states where just everything is washed away. How do you know where to go, which way to go? And the question I'm going to share on this morning is, what does God's word encourage us to do? And it's always good to look back on the pioneers of faith, the craftsmen. I'm talking about craftsmen of the word, but craftsmen as in trades and making things. What have they done before us? What instructions have they left for us? And in 2 Timothy 3:17, so that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's you, that's us, that's me. And like a modern day car service shop, we have to be fully equipped to tackle the challenges of life. You probably wouldn't take your late model car just to get serviced in John Smith's backyard, who lives out in the bush. You want something that's going to be fully equipped. And we have to be that equipped person. And like an IKEA flat pack of furniture, and I've got one here, the instruction sheet sometimes falls out. And how do we follow the instructions? What do we do first? We can't even sometimes work out because there's no words on it. There's only crosses and ticks. So it can be confusing. Do we unfold the instructions? Do we open the word? Do we look into the word? Or do we just, let's have a go. I'll just have a go at this, and then if we get stuck, we might look at the instructions then. One time I was asked to complete a fairly big IKEA project that someone had started. I'll just correct myself, that Glenys and I were asked to complete the build. So there's another dynamic in that. Two minds in unity, in brackets mostly, were definitely better than one. We needed to follow the instructions because it was about a 4 metre long cabinet wall unit with lots of slots and braces, and the owner had got so far and it was like that, and then he left it, and we happened to be visiting. It was one of our trips away, and he said, "Oh, could you do this for me?" So the instructions were there, the bit of paper. And luckily there was no words, because where he'd bought it was in Germany, but and IKEA was in a different language, and we only read English. So we just had to understand the steps and to go through all those steps to understand it. Now, I challenged myself on this. Did I use all the fruit of the Holy Spirit to help me through it? Well, was there peace? Little bit of peace. Patience. It was a big unit. Love and joy. Well, there was a lot of joy at the end when it was all finished and perfectly square and stable and it didn't rock or anything like that. And the other fruits of the Holy Spirit, kindness. Please pass me the screwdriver, dear. Gentleness. Oh, thank you very much, dear. Goodness. Oh, you are so helpful. Faithfulness, self-control, echoes of, "I am holding it." No, put it the other way. "Oh, I told you so." But the project was successful, and the owner was very pleased with the end result. And then just breaking it down, there was a process, there was a plan, and there was instructions. And we just had to go through of them, and also go through those, "Well, I told you so," those things when you pick up the wrong one and you're trying to look at the shape. Well, I can say that the IKEA plans did take some understanding. And understanding is one of those virtues that's in the scriptures as well. We have to understand. We have to have the wisdom and knowledge just to understand those instructions. Anyone else relate to challenges like that? Anyone else? And, oh, good, we're all on the same wave level. That's good. We all need some help somewhere in life, whether it's a work project or the steps of life, the challenges of life, the challenges of young parents. What a challenge, from my point of view, they have in front of them that they will get through. And one of, just relating to my workshop, one of the most useful tools that I have in my workshop is my bench vise and my clamps. And these come in various sizes and various applications. Now, Alan's just going to go through and hold up for those at the back my common sliding clamp to help me hold on to two big packs of wood, also known as an engineer's clamp. You can get a lot of power and tension on that and holds a lot of power together. When there's tough situations, do we pull out the vice grips? And when these are locked on, they cannot come undone unless there's a little tab here and they release. Everyone's people seen those sort of things? Yes, that's good. What about a clamp? Clamping on, that wasn't intentional, thank you. But most of us in our weekly things are pegs, again, something to hang on with. We don't want to put our washing up and then the easterly breeze comes through and stuff is everywhere. So every day we've got little clamps and stationary clamps, also known as bulldog clamps, crocodile clamps, and alligator clamps. And I did actually look up what's the difference, and there is a distinct difference between each of those. And what else have we? Oh, one more. So little things that can be quite annoying to get a grip of. Vice grips come in miniature size, and these are very, very handy. So once that is applied, if you want to do something or undo it or tighten it up, and various other bits and pieces. I've got several toolboxes. Maybe I should correct that. I've got many toolboxes and many shelves and many drawers, and every now and again I discover something that I haven't used for a while and it comes up into my everyday kit. So I just use that as a segue, I think it's the word, segue into what I'm going to be just sharing on a little bit here. And a scripture, 1 Peter 5 on the next slide, so keep a firm grip on faith. It's an instruction. Peter says, take a firm grip. And in that was in the Message version. In the NIV it says, be alert, be sober, or of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So if we're not attached tightly, if we're not clung on to what we're clinging on to, our faith, we are in the we can get devoured. And that word devour, I was meditating on that. It's just got such strong imagery of destruction and pain. So I won't linger on that, but just think of something that's been devoured in the hostile way, I mean. And in Hebrews 10, it also encourages us to let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how that we may spur on one another towards love and good deeds. And spur on, I could also see that how we can encourage and someone, our friend, our colleague, our work person, hang in there, you know. They're going through a tough time with whatever. Just hold in there. If you want someone to talk to, I've got an open ear. I'm not going to intrude into your circumstances, but if you open the door a little bit, I'll come and sit with you and listen to you for your situation. And again, in Hebrews 10:23, let us keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. God always keeps his word. That is encouraging, and I can just stop preaching right now and just say, God always keeps his word. And if in Ephesians 6, in the Message, it says, be prepared. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. So we all need help. We all need support. We all need all the help that we can get. Every weapon, and when I saw that in the scripture, I thought, well, maybe not every weapon, but every tool every weapon or every tool God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. You're still standing. You're still standing your ground. Truth, righteousness, peace, love, salvation are all more than words. We just have to learn how to use them. And we could call our different mechanical tools some of those things. Holding on to truth, holding on to righteousness, holding on to peace. Have a peaceful spirit, have a peaceful heart, etc. And I'm going to read out to Ephesians 6. And we can take encouragement and we can take instructions from the armour of God that we have. And again, encouraging words, but instructive words, not casual words, not the sort of words on a scrappy bit of paper or a book on your shelf that you'll just don't know anything about that and just put it aside. But it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take up your stand against the devil's evil ways or evil schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, that's like underlined, therefore, do it. Put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet firmly planted with the readiness that God comes with the gospel of peace. Be a peacemaker and a peace taker. Don't just think, well, I'm peaceful, but take your peace with you. And in addition to all of this, a bit like having that extra toolbox, that extra Tupperware container put away, there's more. Take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the word of, which is the word of God. And going on, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. And we hear so much about that on the news these days, about scamming and all those sort of things. Deceitful scheming. People are out there to deceive and to trick. But we hear often on the news, just the other night, this commentator was saying how clever the crooks, the schemers are, how clever they can be in making look like being counterfeit. So we have to take caution in every way. And in Hebrews 6:19, just going on, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. Sailing ships, casual ships, pleasure boats, none of them would go out without an anchor. Whether they're going out just casually or for whatever reason, the big ships have bigger anchors so they can drop the anchor and be firmly attached in those times of storm, in those times of standing still. In Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. And in my back shed workshop, when I'm ever fixing something, doing something, invariably I'm using a clamp, and I'm using that clamp to hold on, to either glue something together and hold it under the glue's dry, or to screw something together, or to use as that extra hand. I've talked about the clothes pegs, yes. And the word of God is our anchor and our clamp. And next time you're pegging the clothes on the line, hold that sheet on, hold that towel on. The Holy Spirit has led me, I'll just share a little bit of my testimony now, on a pathway of learning how to apply these things. A lot of the skills I do in my workshop are sort of in the, I make them up and they go along, particularly with some things. I think, how am I going to do this? But in the spiritual realm, the Holy Spirit has led me on a journey, and that part of that journey is through Victorious Ministries through Christ. You may have heard the name occasionally. We talk about it and often hear. Many people have gone through a training school or gone under a ministry of Victorious Ministries through Christ. And I'll just read you a definition that they actually say that this is what it is. This is a simple but careful method of prayer ministry based on biblical teachings, which include cleansing from sin, healing, deliverance, and empowering by the Holy Spirit. God has got a tool for restoring us, restoring that brokenness or that other thing that he wants to join onto us. Not everything is broken, but sometimes he wants to be able to build us up and create within us, spiritually I'm talking about, something greater. And in the various schools that I've gone on with VMTC over a number of years, and I usually go a couple of times a year, God, by his Holy Spirit, has just scraped away. In one of my other talks, I had a scraper and a hot air gun, and they put the hot blower gun and scrape off all that surplus stuff. A bit like the hot plate on a barbecue. You have to scrape it off so that you can have it clean and pure. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that he's unlocked, I couldn't say unlocked, but rebrought out and brought to my mind areas of sin, areas of uncleanliness, areas of things that I would not be proud to speak of, but God has allowed me to confess those things and have those areas cut away from me, the bondages of those areas, and that sin factor, which is deep in each of us because we're all born into sin, cleansed away. And to just give you a little bit away from my toolbox here, I've got a couple of really close friends that I've becoming close with who I met at a VMTC over a number of years, over ministry schools, and I've asked them to come along. I heard both of them give testimonies several years ago, and I jotted it down. I remember jotting their names down. I just said, great testimony. And to give you that great testimony, I'd like you to welcome Mark and Jackie Ratajak. And they come from, and while they're coming up, just give them a welcome. Mark and Jackie are members of the Disciples of Jesus Covenant community from the northern suburbs, correct? Yes, got that right. And I looked up their page just a little bit about their community. And the Disciples of Jesus community is a body of families and single people, priests, brothers and sisters who have come together under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to live a common life of prayer, sharing and service. So I'll let Jackie and Mark, whichever order you want to go in, please come up here. Looks like it's Jackie. Yes, yeah. You're first. Thank you, Jackie.
Hi, everyone. It's so nice to be here, feeling very welcomed. Thank you very much. As Alan said, Mark and I are members of the Disciples of Jesus community. We worship every Sunday in the northern suburbs and our families come together, so children, you know, the same ages as you had here, and the older people, can't remember how, Mark and I might be the oldest, maybe more, I can't remember, doesn't matter. And we've been a part of that community for 25 years now. So just a little bit of background. Mark and I, we have six kids. The eldest is 24, the youngest is 13. Our three oldest kids have also done Victorious Ministries through Christ Ministry. And about 5 years ago, I did my first school. The reason I did it is Mark and I have been involved in the community, the Disciples of Jesus community, as I said, for 25 years, and we'd run Life in the Spirit seminars, and we'd done other outreaches, and we've prayed with people, young people and old people. And in myself, I thought to myself, I could see a divide between my prayers and their effectiveness and the prayers of Jesus Christ, and there was a difference. And I thought, how come when I pray, or how come when the people I see around me pray, like, I don't see, to be honest, I don't see people getting up and walking, and I don't see people freed from spirits, and I don't, why am I not seeing that? Maybe I'm not in the right place at the right time. I don't know. But something inside of me just went, I want more. I want more of the type of prayer that Jesus Christ himself we could have when he ascended into heaven and he said, you'll do all these things that I did and more because you'll have the Holy Spirit with you. I thought, well, that's what I want. How come I didn't feel like I had it to the extent that I knew I could have it because Jesus said I could? So I was talking to a friend of mine and she had heard about VMTC because I'd never heard of it. This was about 5 years ago. And she said, oh, I'll go on one of these courses if you go. And I went, sure, I'll go if you go. She said, because I've got this stuff I need to be dealt with. And I said, well, I just want to know how to pray with people. So we said, okay, you go and I'll go. Anyway, she didn't go. But I thought, I've got to go because I need more. In my Christian walk, I had felt a bit same, and some warning bells went off in my head and thought, as a Christian, I should never be feeling same, this is same old, like is anything going to change? Because the Christian walk, as you know, is exciting. And I was not feeling that excitement. And I know it's not about feelings, but after a while, if it was a bit the same, I thought, I want more. So anyway, I went along to this VMTC course and I didn't know it, but two other members of our community had also registered. So three of us had registered separately from each other and we showed up on the day and went, oh, you're here. Oh, you're great. We know someone. And since that time, I really feel like that's the Holy Spirit was leading me into that at that time because of the other two people as well. Since that time, we've taken what we've learned through VMTC into our own community, and I'm telling you, it makes a difference. Anyway, I went along to VMTC and thinking, great, I'm going to learn how to pray with people with real power, and I did. But I got more than that. Funny that, isn't it? That we always get more than we expect from our God. And he allowed me to just get rid of all this stuff that I didn't even realise I was holding on to. So, you know, all the gifts of the spirits are used in Victorious Ministries through Christ. And VMTC is not the only ministry you can do. There are others. It's just VMTC is the one I'm familiar with, and it's the one where I feel like the Holy Spirit went chink. You know, when you look back on your life and there's times and moments you can go, when you look retrospectively, oh yeah, that was definitely Holy Spirit at the time. You might not see it. Well, there's a number of those times in my life. The most recent one was the first VMTC ministry I did. So that's why I'm up here testifying to it, because it's powerful and it works and it did in my life. So same, was feeling a bit same, went along to VMTC ministry, and I'd confessed sins before and all that sort of stuff. And I remember reading a book and this person in the book said, where there's a symptom, there is a root. And I'd done an Elijah House ministry years and years prior to that, which dealt with the parental-child relationship specifically. And it was through a word of knowledge that I didn't realise there was a root, and it was the same in VMTC. The people used their gifts there and they were listened and they were kind and gentle and all those fruits of the Spirit, and then someone had a word of knowledge and they just said, I think, Matt. And I said, that's it. And we prayed into that, and there was this bondage that I was holding on to that was able to be cut. Very simple prayers, word of God, totally word of God. And it just cut this bondage that I was in. I didn't even realise I was in. And then since then, I promise you, 5 years ago, I would not be up here speaking because I was too timid to do that. So that's different for me as well. So the hand of God certainly worked through VMTC for me. And that scripture that was up there that Alan put down, 1 Peter 5, about be aware and be vigilant, because, you know, the devil's out there prowling around. You just got to look around. We all know that. Look around at the world. We know it's not right. In our own families, in our own lives, out there, it's not right. Something's going on and we know what it is. And I was listening to a preacher once and he said, well, you know what, people? He was speaking to the young people at the time, but, like, you know, that includes, doesn't include me, but I think it does sometimes. My kids are the young people age. And he said to them, if not you, who? And if not now, when? And I just feel like that is us, all Christians today, particularly. If not now, when? And if not who? If not us, who? And I'm really excited because I really feel like the Holy Spirit's used VMTC for Mark and I too to be able to come and speak to you guys. Like, we've not been outside our church, spoken anywhere in any other church. So I think, I feel like personally this is a movement of the Holy Spirit that's bringing the different Christians and different churches together as well, because we're all on the same page, we're all on the same team, and we've already won, all of us. So anyway, blah, 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 blah. This is to say, if you're feeling a bit same, if you think, you know, I'm here as a Christian, I want to be there as a Christian, even if you're thinking, I'm here as a Christian, I don't think I want to be there as a Christian, but probably should be anyway, go to VMTC. The people there are beautiful and gentle, and I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will work, and because he always does. And like I said, I went in thinking I wanted to come out learning how to pray with people, and the result of that has been that in our community that we're in, when Mark and I are a prayer team for people, we have people lining up to come and pray with us, not because it's us, but because they know that we know how to pray, because we've been taught a process, but also at the same time being open to the Holy Spirit. And that's basically what VMTC has taught us to do. So I don't feel like it's like yes, I'll pray with you now and I'm not seeing miracles. I pray with people now and I see miracles. And they say at the end of the prayer, they go, oh yeah, that's it. Something's changed. Something's shifted. And praise the Lord, he's able to work. So I thank Alan and all the people in VMTC, and I'll do another one for sure. Mark's turn. Thank you.
Thanks, Jackie. So I don't know if she said, our surname is Ratajack. And for my whole life, I've been Mark Ratajack, except for our... at our church, the priests are Polish, and they say it's not actually Ratajak, it's Mark Ratajczak. And so my whole life, for the last year, I've now been Mark Ratajczak. But anyway, so I just want to say thanks for welcoming us here. It's great to be here. This is my second time here. It won't be the last time, I'm sure. I just want to say thanks again to Alan. I just say a quick prayer that the Lord will give me the words to speak. And if anything I say that is not of you, Lord, that they would not remember it. So I'm going to start a little bit differently. I haven't got heaps of time. If you have had pain in your life, spiritual pain, physical pain, or emotional pain, can you just please stand up? Any type of pain in your life? Spiritual, emotional, physical. Okay, just have a quick look around, and I'm still standing. There's very few people who are sitting down. Okay, you can grab a seat. That's important for you, I think, because I'll just share very, really briefly. We have six kids, as Jackie said. We've been married this year 29 years. Can you believe that? I can't believe that sometimes. But our first daughter, she died. So we have had pain in our life also, as you have had. And I will tell you in all honesty, only God's healing can heal that pain. But I will guarantee you that there are people sitting here today in this audience who still have pain in their life. And a bit like Jackie, you know, surely, Lord, there's a bit more. So if that's you, this talk is for you. This little sharing. So what did losing our first daughter teach me? To look for the opportunities in life, to make the most of those opportunities, and to rely on God's healing and follow his promptings. So strangely enough, that has led me to this church here to speak to you today. I would never have. I was a bit like Jackie. Actually, I'm a bit more accustomed to speaking. I'm a school teacher by trade. So if you don't pay attention, you will get some homework. No, you won't. I'm joking. My VMT experience starts with Jackie. So Jackie, as she said, she went, three of her friends went, unbeknownst to them. They loved it. She came back and she was super excited. She was just like, this is sensational. She said, you should go. And I was like, well, why should I go? And I could see it was in her face, but she just didn't give it a really great testimony. She said, what stuff did you do? And she said, sort of God things. And I was like, right, okay. Well, what were the talks like? Well, they were good. Well, what did you talk about? And she was a bit vague. And she said, I had this prayer ministry and it was really good. And I was like, what did you pray about? And she said, I sort of can't really remember. And then she shared with me, she said, you do these forgetting prayers so that when you get your ministry, you can't remember and you can just relate to people, on a normal level again without having the stuff. And I was like, and she said, you should really go. And I was thinking in my head, I was thinking, based on what you've shared with me, there's no way I'm going to go. So that was sort of where we sat. And then the next one came around. And she said, I'm going to go again. And she said, are you interested? And I was like, oh, no, I don't think so. It's like, And in my head, she said, it goes for 2 weekends. And I was like, oh, great. We've got 6 kids. I'm going to have to do all the cooking and I'm going to have to look after the kids. And anyway, I was a bit grumpy about it, if I'm honest with you. So, and that sort of, and again, she came back. She was super excited. She was different. Something had changed in her. She was more patient. She was, and she's very patient anyway, but she was more patient with me. I was a bit more grumpy because she'd been away. Anyway, you get the story about what's going on here. So the third, there was a third school approaching. So Jackie's done 2 schools and Mark has, in his stubborn self, has done none. I'm sitting and there's a third school coming up and Jackie's like, I'm going to go again. And I'm like, here we go. This is going on again. I'm going to be with the kids. And anyway, so I kid you not, I was sitting in our church at the back row and it was after one of our services and I was praying away and can you just put your hand up if at any time in your life you've clearly heard God's voice speak to you? Is there people like there's, it happens. In my case, it's happened a few times. Very distinct. God's voice said to me in the back row of our church, for the sake of Jackie and your marriage, go to VMTC. And I was like, okay, I'll go. So I came home from church and I said to Jackie, look, I think I'm supposed to go. She was like, oh, that's so good. They're very exciting. Anyway, so we went together. And again, this sort of vague thing, we were chatting in the car on the way down. I said, look, what's it going to involve? And she said, you can wait until you get there. It'll be good. And I was like, okay, not many details. So I rolled up and right at the very beginning, Jackie, being at 2 schools, she sort of got whisked away and I was left by myself and she said, I've got to go now. I was like, where are you going? She says, I've got to do some prayer ministry. And I said, what about me? She said, no, you're a first school. You've got to stay here by yourself. I was like, oh, great. So they said, come and take a seat. There was one seat left in the hall next to a grumpy old lady. And I thought, Lord, great. So I'm not really jumping out of my skin about being here. I've got to sit next to this lady. I said, look, have you been before? She said, no. I said, do you know anything about it? She said, they wouldn't tell me much. I was like, funny that. They didn't tell me much about it either. We're both sitting there together. Anyway, we've become great friends and we both joked on the thing, you're still here. And I said, yeah, I'm still here. And strangely enough, the talks spoke to my heart. Now, I had given talks and spoken to people and done, as Jackie said, we'd run some services, but the talk spoke to my heart and I joked with this lady. I said, yeah, there's something in the talks. And she said, yeah, exactly the same. She said, I'm really quite liking it. Anyway, we never escaped. After escaped, it's a bad word, but anyway, so we stayed and loved it. Absolutely loved it. We became very good friends and Jackie came back and she said, even before I had my own ministry, she said, something has changed in you. She said, you're already different. I said, yeah, I don't know what's going on, but this is really good. So I really, really enjoyed it. Now, I can say to you in all honesty that it would be in the top two spiritual things I have ever done in my life. Top two things, and the top five things in my life together. Now, we've been married for 29 years. We've got 6 children. And it was super powerful. And I'll tell you one of the most super powerful things. I actually thought that I was okay. Jackie said, you know, prior to this VMTC, I'd done my own, you know, healing and searching and all that sort of stuff. But I just knew that there wasn't something quite right. I'll tell you this story, true story. When I was about 13 years old, I walked past the television in our lounge room and I saw an ad for a horror movie. And that image had stayed in my head, I kid you not, for about 40 years. It would reappear at inopportune moments. It would sort of haunt my dreams for a bit. When I went for my ministry, so for 40 years, I this image keep coming to my head. When I went to my ministry, they said something, have you seen something? Or, you know, one of the questions I do remember was, you know, have you seen something that's, you know, sort of, you know, troubled you? And I said, oh, gosh, yeah. Like, I've had this image since I was about 13 years old, and it just still comes up, and, you know, it's just no good, this horror movie. And they said, oh, we can give you some prayers for that. And I was like, wow, would you like some prayers? I was like, yeah, that'd be really good. So they just gave this simple prayer. They took the word of God like a hammer. They said, in Jesus' name, we're going to smash that image, and it's going to have no power in your life anymore. And I was like, okay. After that prayer, very simple, as I've just done it. After that prayer, that image has no hold on my life. I cannot see it in my head. I know that it's been there, but it's very fuzzy and fuzzy and hazy, and I just can't see it clearly. It has no hold on my life. Now, then they went through a whole bundle of things, and they said, oh, you know, is there any other things that you don't like? Well, you know, we lost our first daughter. I had a serious knee operation. I just didn't like hospitals. You know, my friend, he had some twins. They were really troubled. I felt absolutely sick going into the hospital. Jackie said I was as white as, you know, the paper here. It was awful. I said, look, I've got this terrible thing about hospitals as a result of these things. They said, oh, we can get some prayers for that. Anyway, so they did the prayers for that. I don't have this phobia about hospitals anymore. They did a whole bundle of stuff. And I thought I was doing okay. So they cleared up all these things in my life that I just had happened to me that I just didn't know were affecting my life and my relationship with God and other people. So one of the last things I'll share with you, and I know we're stretched for time, is that I absolutely loved. I went, and Jackie said, just when you go, she did say one thing, just go for it. Just everything that's, you know, in your life that is probably distanced you from God, just get it out. And I was like, yeah, well, and there was a few things in our church, I'll be honest. And when you're in your own church, you don't really want to talk to the people in your own church because they might be the ones who have annoyed you. And you don't have to agree whether that's happened in this church, but it certainly had happened to me. And Jackie said, well, the people that are going to do your ministry, you won't know. They don't know you. You might never see them again. So you know what? I just absolutely let rip. And I just said all the stuff and let the pain and the hurt go. And these people prayed and I just felt absolutely better. Like I was a different person. So, and then when I've now done ministry, like the people that I have ministered to, I don't know them. Like, you know, so it was such a great way to be healed. And I just think God in his goodness knows what he's doing with this ministry. So it's such a powerful thing. So it's been so powerful. Our own children, our 6 kids, I think Jackie said 3 of them came, one with her husband, and then the husband brought his 2 brothers and sisters. My youngest son, who's eligible to come, is coming to this one. I'm probably going to come with him, which is actually at this church. Alan said that what it does is it gives you the tools. I thought I was doing okay, but it actually absolutely gives you the tools to fight the enemy on a daily basis. You know, I knew about the armor of God, but I just was lazy in putting it on, you know. And in my church, we just didn't talk about it that much. So now, as a result of doing VMTC, I put it on daily. When we pray with people, I know how to deal with stuff. I've been ministered to. so powerfully that now I feel better to minister to other people. So I would say to you, if you are sitting in this congregation today and you are serious about your relationship with the Lord, and actually you would like to help other people in their relationship with the Lord, and look, let's be honest, it's church. Hopefully you're going to say, yes, I would like to do those things. Then I would absolutely encourage you to, at some stage in your life, to do a VMTC training school. It has been absolutely spectacular. And I'll agree with Jackie, this is absolutely a movement of the Holy Spirit. If this whole thing hadn't happened, then I would not be standing here. And what it's done for our friends who are not in our church, it is bringing Christians together. It is absolutely bringing Christians together. And you know what? The world needs it. The world absolutely needs Christians to stand united today, because the world, as we know it, is coming apart. And if we don't stand together, then who's, like Jackie said, who is going to do it? So I feel absolutely honoured and blessed that you would have us come here. I feel absolutely honoured and blessed that you would let us share. And I would love to see you at future schools, because, you know, those tools that Alan talked about, you know, they are absolutely essential for combating the enemy, and he doesn't want us to. So, you know, what a good reason to actually get on and do it, because he does not want us to. So thank you for listening to us, and thank you for having us here. Thank you.
Who's been inspired? Well, great. So please come and see me afterwards if you want some more information on it. I've got some handouts on the back little table there. And whether the timing of it, whether there's one coming up in June and then there's another one later in the year, there's always two or three schools through the year. And it's open. It's open to everyone, everyone over 18, that is. And I'm excited that there's people from this congregation coming to this next school in June, but there's still room for others. There's a whole logistics thing of running a school, of the right number of ministers, or ministry people I'm talking about, not ministers as such, and there's some other things. So if you are interested, see myself or... You can see Alison also. She just gave me the nod because Alison's also part of VMTC. And just a shout out to a good friend of mine who tapped me on the shoulder about 11 years ago when I was sitting in front of him, Pam and Kent McDowell, and tapped me on the shoulder and said, gave me a little brochure and said, Alan, this might be of interest to you. Not a whole lot of words, he said. He actually then, I think the next week or the same week, gave me a little booklet written by Anne White, who was one of the was the founder of the ministry, this international ministry. And I can remember exactly where I read that book, under what tree, and even where I was sitting. It wasn't at home, and I prayed a prayer to God silently. I said, Lord, if there's some opportunity for me to go through this ministry, please show me a way. And then I think the next week or three or something, I got a brochure, then I registered in the next school. So it is a wonderful, wonderful school, a learning experience, and I'm open. So just in closing the service, if anyone would like prayer after when we close, please come to the front. Jackie and Mark said that, yes, they will pray, and some of our other prayer team also. And if you just want to have a conversation, tea and coffee shortly. But Kyla's got one more message to share just before we close.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Jackie. That's wonderful. I love hearing testimonies of what God's doing. It's just really encouraging to hear. So just a couple of notices I forgot to share before. Next week we have our missions lunch. So we do that once or twice a year. where one of the Connect groups puts on this amazing feast and raises money to bless missions. So next week, $10 come along. We've also got our Shalom family coming along with us too. So it's going to be a full house. And it's also the first Sunday of the month, so we have our grazing table as well. So for those that don't know what that is, bring a plate to share, finger food, dessert or savoury. But yeah, we'll have a massive feast next week. So get along to that and don't forget prayer meeting tomorrow, 6 o'clock. All right, God bless.
So bless you all. Please, prayer line is open at the front. And have a blessed week, each one of you. Thank you very much.